the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Masood, he said yes there. Did you hear him in the pool when he said, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? He's only ever said two words in English in my experience. One of them was yes there. The other one was Manchester. Sadly, that was a confession that he believed that Manchester United were a good football team. And you'll see for reasons that I'm about to explain that I pray for him about that every day. So, I've got a few moments here, but this is what I want to do. You've heard lots of stories, you've witnessed this, but I want to spend a few moments reminding you, if you've already been baptized, about what you've committed to, and explaining to you, if you have not been baptized, about what it is and why it is a wonderful invitation to come towards. I wonder whether you know the phrase, dead and buried. Dead and buried. I wonder what you associate with that phrase. Here's my association with it. It was in 2005, and around about 8:45 in the evening, I was sitting in a church hall in the middle of a youth meeting, which I'd co-opted to be a big screening of the Champions League final. I was the only one out of the whole youth group who was watching it by this point. My team, who are the best team, obviously, Liverpool, were 3-0 down at half time. We were dead and buried. It's interesting, when you hear the phrase dead and buried, usually it's used because there's an expectation that that is not the end of the story. And everything we've been hearing this morning is about the fact that being dead and buried in Christian faith is not the end of the story. In fact, it is the beginning of the story. Apologies for a football theme as it goes through here. But probably the reason I support Liverpool is actually, I don't think, because I'm a glory hunter. It's because I really like Bill Shankly. Bill Shankly was a manager a while ago, and he famously said this: some people think football is a matter of life and death. I assure you, it's much more serious than that. I think he said that tongue-in-cheek at the time. And the reality is, if you follow Liverpool football team as I have done, these words came back to haunt him because a tragedy hit that football club in which 97 people died. And the manager at the time said, this really doesn't matter anymore. Some things are far, far more important. I think life, in all its richness, is full of joys and sadnesses. I'm sure that you would say that as well. Football, for me, is one of those things, but it is not a matter of life and death. What we are witnessing to here today is about life and death. It is about finding life in the face of death. And I want to explain that through a handful of verses from Paul. Paul was an early Christian, one of the first leaders of the church. In fact, he had such a turnaround in his life that he went from being the most vocal opponent of the Christian faith to be its strongest advocate. And to my mind, this is one of the greatest reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Something happened to change this man's perspective from saying, these people deserve to die and be silenced, to saying, I need to tell you about this because it is life. Why would you do that and put your life in danger unless you had had a real encounter with something that was profound and true? He says that all human beings, in fact, are dead and buried. We are the walking dead. He says this in a letter to Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Not unfulfilled, not a bit out of sorts, you were dead. Christian faith is pretty down the line and serious about this. The Bible says that life comes from God, and all our life finds meaning in him. But it also says that people tend not to live that way. People tend to forget God and his intentions and instead try to work it out for themselves. But this does not generally work out well. We know this when we read the news. We know this when we look inside ourselves at times and realize that things have gone awry. There are consequences to ignoring God if he is the source of life. We are walking down a dead-end road. An old prophet in the Old Testament said this conundrum isn't just something for particularly bad people, but it's something that we all face. Because none of us, by instinct, follow God and honor him and find life in him. He said, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." It is interesting that if you want to know where people are on Sunday morning and they're not in church, then you can go to B&Q because they're all there. And it's interesting because the contrast is that people come to church because we want to serve God and find strength in him, and people go to B&Q because they want to do it themselves. So it's good you're here. If we're all going astray and walking a dead-end road, God does not want, I think, to leave us without hope. So that sounded like bad news, didn't it? We're all going astray. We're the walking dead. This doesn't end well. But God loves us and loves this world and says, that is not the way it is going to finish. I am going to get involved because I'm the only one who can rescue you and get you out of this and start you walking back in a way that will bring you life. And that way comes from Jesus Christ, because the second half of that verse that says, we all like sheep have gone astray, each have turned to our own way, says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? It means that all of our misdirection, all of our going astray, all of our consequences of ignoring God, all of the walking towards death that we have fallen into are gathered up by Jesus, and he says, enough. I will take the consequence of this because I love this world and I love these people and I want you to find life. Something has to die. There is going to be a death to death. Another letter that Paul wrote puts it like this. The death he died for sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Jesus died on a cross. Pretty much everyone believes that. Roman historians, a man called Tacitus, wrote about it. But he didn't die randomly or in defeat, but because he chose to die there for you and for me. Sin, that is our misdirection, all our rebellion, our choosing away, leads to death. But Jesus enters that death on our behalf to offer a way to new life. It's a hope, I believe, that's not just for us as individuals. The gospel doesn't say, I'm all right, I'm going to get to heaven, I don't care about everybody else. It says, stop walking towards death and start walking the way of life and bring that life into the whole of creation as we do it, as it was supposed to be in the beginning, made in the image of God, stewarding creation, giving glory to him. And that life begins because Jesus carries into death that which is dying, and then through resurrection comes back and says, walk this way. Follow me. Follow me. But that way back is also a matter of life and death, or rather death and life. If we are dead and buried in ignoring God, the way back involves the death of our old life and finding a new life in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we're celebrating today. Paul goes on to write, referring to baptism, this. We were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Christian hope does not come through a bit of a makeover or trying harder. It comes because one life finishes and another life begins. Jesus shows the way by dying in our stead and being raised to life. And then he says to us, follow me. And what does that mean? It means that we die to the life that we used to live, because there's the prospect of a different life that only comes through following him as we go through it. None of this we can do for ourselves. All of this is possible because God acts in Jesus to find people like you and me who've lost our way and bring them back home to him. I don't know if you remember, in Monty Python, there was a famous sketch called The 100 Meters for people who'd lost their sense of direction. It's one of my favourites. It's the gun goes off and they all run around like this. The race never finishes because they don't know where the finish line is. Without Jesus, life is like the 100 meters for people who've lost their sense of direction, running around all over the place and getting nowhere. But those who are baptized say, my dead-end life is dead, and now I live through Christ. I was dead and buried, but Jesus' death buried my sin, and I have buried that life and left it behind to follow Jesus into a new life that glorifies God, blesses other people, and finds myself wonderfully and strangely blessed. Paul writes to say that we were dead in sin and we were lost. Paul writes to say that Jesus' death and resurrection bury our sin and its consequences and give us a new life. We are no longer dead and buried. We are alive and kicking. Are you alive and kicking if you come to this church? Genuine question. We're going through a bit of a challenging time in our life at the moment as a family. Does that mean that my life has stopped because life has suddenly got difficult? Things aren't working out quite the way that I'd ideally like? Of course not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. I died to that way of life. My hope is in Jesus. Is yours? Or is it only if things work out all right? Our friends from Iran show us a different way. And you will find joy if you follow that way. If you haven't been found Jesus yet, I'm sorry if this sounds a bit in your face, and I'm not really an in-your-face sort of person, honestly, but I genuinely believe that if you want to find life, you have to know that you're dead and buried. And then you have to bury the life in order to find the life. And today's the day you ought to do something about that. You can't do that by looking on from a distance. You can't do that by smiling and waving at Jesus as he walks past every Sunday morning. You do it only by utterly committing yourself. You can't possibly know what Christian faith is like by observation from afar. Get involved. Get stuck in. Commit. That's how I became a Christian. And that goes back to football. Because many years ago, I went to a field, not DCYC, but something like it, where a man had a picture of a football pitch. And he said, imagine there's a football game going on. Christian life is like this. Where are you? Are you outside the stadium, ignoring it, walking by? Have you come in as an observer and you like to see the game going on, but you're distant from it and you leave before half time to go and get a burger? Are you on the subs bench because you begin to get interested in this? Maybe you're even warming up, running up and down. Or are you on the pitch? People talk about football in a funny way, don't they? They say, we're not playing very well today. But they're not playing. They're in the crowd. Don't be in the crowd. Get on the pitch. Get involved. This isn't just about it might make your life better. This is about truth and about eternity and about the state of this world and its future. That's what I think. Paul says it in this way. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Maybe you have been baptized here, but you're not really walking the life that you should be, because actually it's just in the background. It's background noise, your faith. Then wake up. Wake up. Time is passing, and this moment may be very, very precious. Sorry to make this very personal to close with, but my story is that my dad died very suddenly when I was 15. He went on a train to work, and when he came back, he didn't come back. I may not be with you tomorrow. That's what my life has learnt. So let me tell you, it matters what you decide now. I'm so glad to be a part of this church. Thank you for welcoming us. I'm so glad to have been part of the ministry that Dave runs at the hotel. I'm so glad to be about to sing a song that my friend Drew leads, and he does it brilliantly. But I'm most of all glad because I know Jesus. He holds me in my hand, and everything about my life is about him. Don't leave this place dead and buried. Jesus says it's time to find life and to come back alive and kicking. Amen. If you want to talk about that more, and I don't like doing this bit very much, because, you know, but genuinely, this does actually matter. I'm a reasonably friendly man, and Paul's nicer than I am. So if you want to talk about this, come and talk to us down here. Get a prayer. Get someone to pray for you. If you've been drifting, turn to someone next to you and say, I need to wake up. Will you be my alarm clock? Pray for me right now. Don't miss this moment. All right? That's not very neat ending, is it? That's as neat as it gets. Fortunately.